third pair of glasses today, and I almost misplaced these. I didn't bring mine. I sent Walker out to the car. He bought me a broken pair. That was all that was in there. Then I borrowed a pair from Vicky, and they looked like they belonged to Vicky. Then I told my wife, I said, I can't find my key, my glasses. I lost them between here and there, and I just had them. And she said, well, I got a pair in my purse. And I said, that's that pair. Well, and then she offered me that pink pair, but then we found these. So we're better than we could have been, not as good as we could be. That's how it goes sometimes, though. Honestly, I'm not as disheveled as you think, but or as I look. I can't control what you think about me. It'll make sense in a minute, don't worry. I have been very busy this fall. Haven't done a whole lot of what I would usually be doing in the fall. That day's coming. But I've been really in depth with my Bible, which is a good thing. And I've had some good alone time with the Lord in one of the most beautiful places in the world, in Alaska. I can't imagine. There may be prettier, but I haven't seen it because that's, in my lifetime, that's the prettiest thing I've ever seen. That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But this week, I spent time in Chattanooga at a conference. Best conference I've ever been to. I was telling Alan afterwards, I've looked at some stuff this morning just because I wanted to. It's like it was so good that I wanted to go back through it, but I didn't want to just come back and regurgitate fresh conference on you guys. That wouldn't be fair. But I do want to chew on it for a while. It is amazing. And I met some new people. I heard some new voices in my life. Literally, people that were on the stage, I was looking at my brother, who pastors in Ohio, and one of the guys that I went to college with who's a pastor. So it was great. My nephew was there and a member of my brother's church in Ohio. We had a great group of us five just getting to enjoy each other. And some of the guys that I went to college with are on staff at this place. But I was seeing people I'd never heard of before. And when they'd take the stage, I'm like, who's that? Who's that? Who that? Who that? And they're like, I don't know. And when they started talking, I'm like, I don't know who they are, but I do know that they've been with the Lord. And it was powerful. And I saw young people just worshiping God. And I'm not talking about that. I've been to a lot of things. I've seen a lot of crescendos. I have never seen a crescendo that started and stayed. I've never seen a sustained crescendo. You know that in the middle of all of that, they took every night for 30 minutes to an hour, they had someone that's just gifted to pray before service. I mean, they'd go right into service from this, but that person, this lady, was just gifted to pray. And that whole congregation, it was like the top of most services, their prayer. And I'm talking about all the way down the large, this is a gigantic, it's the old Temple University campus. I went to Lee University. We used to go there and play them in basketball. They've redone that campus and made it into a church now. And the whole front, I mean, there wasn't even standing room. That people were just crunched up down there, but they were worshiping God. It was an incredible sight, and to see the mass number of young people unashamedly praising God and worshiping, like, nonstop. And I'll tell you, some things were very refreshing. One thing was that they were praying for a worship leader who had a child back in July, and during that stood up right after having the child and had a pulmonary embolism and was unconscious for a couple of weeks. And they had said that you don't have enough brain activity, you will die. That's what they were telling the family, she will die. Well, the first word that came out of her mouth was ouch. And then 2 weeks later, Jesus came out of her mouth, and they're still praying for her, and they're still, and the pastor said something just, man, it hit me deep. He said, they had a screen in the hospital online for her to see that this mass of people was calling her name and praying for her. And it said, until there is not a brainwave left in your body, we're going to pray for your healing. And that got me. That stirred me, because I've seen people in that state. And but the power of prayer. And then to say what Daniel said, God, well, you can do it. You know what Daniel said. Come on now. You can do it. But even if you don't, you're still God and you're still able. And the level of faith, whenever we do that, we release faith in ourselves. And that's what it takes. But in all of that, at the end, I think the thing that impressed me most is that, you know, I understand guest speakers. I understand giving honor to people. And they honored people, and I appreciated that. Because, you know, biblically speaking, we're supposed to give honor. In the church, we're supposed to give honor. Do you understand that? So we will, well, if you don't, I'm telling you, you're supposed to honor people. Because y'all didn't give me much response on that. We are to honor people, but all glory goes to God. But those in positions of honor emptied their seats and was down praying for people. I've been so sickened to go to things and see the ones that are great when they're preaching, but that's as far as they're great. And never move to pray for anybody or lay their golden hands on anybody. It's wrong. But I came back very refreshed, very tired. I had to get up at 3 a.m. yesterday morning and go take one of my friend to Chattanooga, and I decided I was going to drive on home. So I'm driving home. I did something I've never done before. I pulled over in about Commerce, Georgia, and it was about 5:30 in the morning. I pulled into a QT, and I said, I mean, I was driving like this. I was like, I remember promising my wife, I won't do that. I won't be cheap to not get a room, but I just left a room. But I'm not going to get another room. But I pulled over to QT, and I pulled over, and I laid my head back, and I said, okay, I'll sit here for a little while. At about 7:15, I felt the warmth of the sun coming up. Almost 2 hours, I was out, man. I'm telling you, so I went in and got me some coffee and drove the rest of the way home. But so y'all sound very tired this weekend. I'm right there with you. But he deserves all the glory. And he deserves all the praise. And he's worthy of it all. There, I might be tired in my body, but my spirit, man, is jumping up and down. And I've been a part of something. You know when you've been a part of something great? Now, I can't talk you into doing something outside of that. We have wonderful services. But I hope that this is not the only time that you worship God during the week. I hope this is not the only time that you commune with God. And dads and men, I hope that you are gathering your family around and ministering to your family. I hope that. And if there's no dads in the house, ladies, I hope you're gathering your family. And if you're by yourself, I hope you're making time for just you and God. Does that make sense? Yes, it does. Yes, it is. And it is something that we, if we're not doing, we got to do, because the time is short. So Friday night, there was an interruption in the middle of everything, and they came out and they said, we need to tell you this. Israel has just attacked Iran. And they told us some details, because they have a very close connection in Iran. I'm going to say Iran, okay? I'm from South Carolina. It's probably Iran, but that's hard on me. That's hard on everything. So it's like you all, y'all. I will say y'all. So Iran. I'm going to say Iran. Like I went out this morning, Iran, but y'all know I'm lying. Y'all know I don't run for nothing. But Iran. So they have this great relationship with some people in Iran. You know that there's always a remnant of God somewhere? And while Israel is attacking Iran, I don't want the remnant there to get blown up. I'm ready for Hamas to go away. I'm ready for God to be glorified, and I'm going to pray for Israel. Now, you can say, now, Pastor John, you know, a lot of Israel, they're not accepting Jesus as the Messiah. They're believing in a Messiah, but they believe that Jesus is not him. I get that. But I was once not saved, too, and my mama prayed for me. And we need to pray for their eyes to be open. The reason that salvation has been extended to the Gentiles is because God's children rejected him. You read your Bible, you'll find out then it was offered to us. And we should be thankful. And we're grafted in. And we should not get so holy that we're grafted in according to God's word. He said, you're not even in the original root. You got grafted in, so ease up there a little bit before you start thinking so high and mighty. But here's what happened. When Israel attacked Iran, so they got their contact information back from the Iranians that were there. And believe it or not, the information that they said is that the biggest revival going on right now is happening in Iran. And if you want to light a fire under some men, women are leading it. And here's the thing about the women that are leading it. In Iran, the evangelism is such that if you go out and talk to anybody about Jesus, there's a good chance you're not coming home. Not alive anyway. Not missing body parts. And these women are risking it all. But they said this. This is what they sent back. They said, we are praying. Now get this. Our prayer is that Israel will attack Iran. That's their prayer. That Israel would attack Iran and kill this wicked government that has reigned over us. Because we're believing. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? And you think that that battle is not spiritual? And you think that only bad parts, you know that you're not getting the news. You know that when you turn the news on, you're getting what someone wants you to hear about the news. There's a difference in news and journalism. And journalism used to be that we just reported. We reported what happened. Like somebody walked into this building and said, well, there's a map on the wall and there's a ladies' bathroom on the left side and we don't know where the men's bathroom is just looking from where we were at, but I guess there's one somewhere. And there were several people there and the colors of the seats were one color and they had a black stage and they had this many people. That's what reporting would be. But now the news is very selective, and I'll only tell you what I want you to know. And when I went into that building, there was just a bunch of radical, crazy people that probably want to kill all of us. Well, that's how it's coming down the pipe. That's how we're going to be identified as Christians before too long, just so you know. So let me move to what I'm saying, because y'all are getting awfully quiet on me. The songs that we sang this morning, Jesus paid it all, and he did. For God so loved the world. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Do you want to know who got nervous this morning? The enemy got nervous. The enemy got nervous when we start talking about the blood of Jesus. But can I tell you, when he gets relaxed and he's like, oh, okay, it's not that bad. It's when we can sing, thank you. Now, look, okay, fair enough. I need y'all to understand something. I'm playing the bass now. So I'm not like I normally am because I can't stay strapped into that and play right. So I used to play, and I'm getting that back. So I can't worship like I want to. So I'm going to give myself a little pass. What's your excuse? I mean, for real. Because I said that when we talk about the blood of Jesus, when I talk about blood, the enemy's cringing, hoping, I hope he's talking about a deer he killed. I hope he's talking about some animal that died. But don't be talking about the blood of Jesus. Because if I say blood and I say Jesus, I have just torn up every demon in this place. I'm telling you, demons can't handle it when you start saying Jesus. I remember going to church when I was a little kid and I heard, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I just hear that. It was almost like feedback in the sounds of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I remember when I was praying one time at a little wooden altar like that, and I was praying, and this person doing the best of the can, they came by and they said, "Let me pray for you." They prayed something, and they were giving me instruction, and I was like looking at them, and they said, "Just say Jesus till I get back," and I was like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I had my head down, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm like, have they forgotten about me? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And finally, a little while, they came back, but they were praying for a bunch of people. But you would think that that's silly, but they were telling me the best thing that they could tell me, actually. And I said that when we talk about the blood and we talk about Jesus, the enemy gets real nervous until we drop off and start thinking nonchalantly about it. Thank you, Jesus, for them. Hey, babe, babe, babe. Thank you, babe. You got any mints? You know, where are them little Christ Fellowship mints? Let me pop one of them. When we get distracted, I'm trying to help us this morning. If you don't want to live beneath your privilege, act like you got privilege when you get in His presence. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. I'm trying to help you. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be like wool." We just sang that. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. My sins were like scarlet. Do you know the problem with getting a stain is when it's a blood stain? Blood's hard to get out. They say the first thing to do to put on blood is put cold water on it, and you might have a chance. But our sins, according to the Bible, were like scarlet, but they were going to be made like wool, like white wool, like washed in His blood, and His blood was going to stain it white. And that should excite us so much. So I wore my hunting boots this morning. Christine said, "Why?" And I've got my vintage mossy oak green leaf. No, this ain't just camo. This is vintage. Do you know that this right here, that little jacket right there goes for about $200, $250 on, don't nobody walk off with my jacket. Y'all see another side of me. On eBay, that costs more because I've stood right there. Billy, you ever stood by somebody that was wearing that and somebody that looked like Field and Stream out of Walmart? They just got the brand new camo. They look good, but that stuff right there, you'll disappear in that. I'm telling you. And I wear that stuff right there. That's my brand. And it's going to make sense in a minute. But that is a particular type of cabbage flage. The guy who came up with this, his name was Toxie Hayes or Haas or Hayes or something like that. But anyway, he picked up a handful of dirt. And he took it in and he got it screen printed. And that's what he came up with. And to me, it's still the best. The original is still the best. And that stuff hides you away. So I've worn that a lot of times when I was in the woods. Lots of times. Lots of times I'll go to this right here. And I'm very careful with it now. I usually only wear it on special occasions like opening day or turkey season like that because I want to pass it down one day. But don't worry, eBay, it's not coming to you. I've walked by lots of signs, lots of this is off of a place I got in Georgia I've been going to since 1985. And I pulled that off a tree, had a pine knot right there. So they had a Z, they didn't have an N. So they made a Z and posted no hunting. You know what that actually translates to legally? You know what that means? No trespassing. No trespassing. It's a homemade sign, and it's been that color as long as I can remember. He did a good job with it. So here's another one that was about 200 yards down from that one. Hunting rights leased to private club, Beaver Pond Hunting Club, through Champion, that would had the rights to go in and log the land, get the timber off of it, and things like that. This also means no trespassing. It means stay off, and you can't do anything. Now, I wish I had time to give y'all one of those yellow signs that you've seen those no trespassing, or you've seen just the no trespassing signs, I'm sure, but you've seen the yellow ones that say posted, and underneath it says a lot. It says no hunting, no fishing, no this, no that, the other, and it's got a long list of things, and it's telling you what you can and you can't do on that property unless you have access or written permission. And then I got this one. This is my favorite one ever. I actually went out to my garage and pulled all of these things off of an old wardrobe that my grandmother left. So I lined it, the big mirror, and it broke. So I lined it with old posted signs from the woods. I think it looks kind of cool. But this is, so there are trespassing signs, and then there are ones that want to be clear, like don't do this. And there are some that I really, it's like one of my favorite ones. It's got a wild turkey on it. It says, they're basically saying, don't even look at our property. Don't even turn your head this way. We got animals over here, but you're not invited. That's what they're saying. But don't stay off of my property. But this is my favorite one that I've ever seen. It's from Cowden Plantation. And there's some management land that goes up to the property. So management land is public land. That means anybody with a permit to get on that can come in there. But Cowden Plantation 20 years ago was $4,500 a year to be on. Only by invitation. That's 20 years ago. It's probably $10,000 a year now. I don't know. But 45 years ago, but there was an old broken down tree, and it was on the management sign, and nobody had laid there for years. And I said, I'm not letting that rot. I found it. I said, I'm taking it. I love these signs. I'm just taking it. So Lord, forgive me if I stole, but I took it. And y'all get to see it right now. Well, this is going online, so if the guy who owns Cowden wants his sign back, he can come get it. And I'll give him his sign back if he lets me hunt one time. Best sign ever. Posted, no nothing. Don't even breathe our oxygen. If a butterfly flies across, watch him that far, and then he just disappears. It's considered a magic trick. Don't even look that way. No nothing. And when I saw that, I just busted out laughing. I said, I'm taking it. It's mine. I'll work it into a sermon somewhere. I've had that sign for about 20 years. So I'm just going to tell you, though, that you can get in to some places if you have the right identification, credentials. That's my word I wrote down. Credentials. Now, I know it's election season, so there are some states that have figured out, you know, California, one of them. You know, California is so smart. Look at their books, how balanced that they are. They're so smart that they're telling everybody else what to do. And usually if somebody tells me what to do, I will judge them a little bit and how they're doing in that department. But California's doing so good that they want the whole world to know. This is how you do it. California's gotten so smart. Not only do you not have to have an ID, I heard just yesterday that to vote in California, it's against the law to show an ID. I don't know if that's true, but you do not need any identification in Florida to vote this fall. So good luck to whoever's running. You got some obstacles out there, I'm telling you. All night long on November the 5th, there's going to be some obstacles, I believe. But this access right here is my son, Walker Morgan. This is get him to one place and one place only. This is Rock Hill High School. This gets my son to a place that I'm not welcome at. I mean, I'm welcome to go with him at certain times, but I can't just walk into that place. And Walker's graduating, and the day that after he graduates, he won't be welcome back anymore, and this will be canceled. And it should be because of the day that we live in. Those are called credentials. And I just talked to you about no trespassing. And I've talked a little bit about how we worship God and a little bit what our responsibility is. But I'm going to tell you, way more than our responsibility, it's our privilege to worship God for all that He's done for us. Psalm 100 says this: Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I'm so glad that His mercy, His goodness, His love endures forever, and that His faithfulness continues through all generations. Because mine doesn't. There's times when I'm not as merciful as I should be. There's times when I'm not as gracious as I should be. There's times when I'm not as loving as I should be. But His faithfulness, there's times when my faithfulness is not what it should be. But His faithfulness continues. That's another reason we should praise Him. Now, if we're not very careful, we will get to the point where we've got to walk so straight. And I'm not telling you that we live loosely. But because of what He's done for me, it compels me to want to. That, I guess that's part of my whole point this morning. It's not that you have to worship God a certain way. But the problem is if you don't want to. You don't even have to go to church. But there's a problem if you don't want to go to church. There's a lot of things that we don't have to do. But if we find out inside of ourselves that we don't do it because we don't want to, there is a scripture that is so strong, and it says this: the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You've heard that over and over, haven't you? I've heard it over and over. But I heard somebody give a translation that I never knew this week. The translation of that is so much deeper and strikes home so much more. Because if we were just to take it as the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, I immediately in my mind go to an atheist. That's what I'm thinking. Is anybody else like that? I'm thinking that's for the atheist. But that actually translates to something way more powerful. The fool has said in his heart, no God. No God. Do you see the responsibility of that? Not just there is no God, but knowing that there's a God and telling Him no. No God. I don't want that to be my answer to God in any area, especially when He's given me invitation into an area. And according to this scripture, there's not just a privilege to enter in, and there's not just an obligation to enter in, and there's not just a this is the way you should. It's not just an encouragement to enter in. According to this scripture, there is a criteria to enter in. According to this scripture, there is a certain way that makes it proper to enter in. According to the scripture, there is an etiquette to how we enter in. Now, I know it's talking about the temple. And I know that you could say, Pastor John, that's an Old Testament scripture, and it's talking about the temple. But if you look at the temple, and I will tell you this, it is some hard reading in the Word to read about the temple. Because it'll give you a whole list of things that had to take place. And we were talking about bowls. And a whole list, and we were talking about bowls and spoons. And a whole list, and we're talking about where we're going to put those bowls and spoons. And if I'm going to read every bit of it, I've got to read some things that were a bit hard to read because they were descriptive things. But my mind is like, okay, the rings, the tassels, and the cubits and all that stuff. And I'm like, all that for a bowl. Okay, praise the Lord for the bowls. Okay, and then all that, and this, and then, okay, and then that, and all those trinkets and all that holds, and that fasteners and all that. Okay, and that's for a curtain and all that, and then some springs. That's for the curtains that go on these hooks and that go on these staves, and then they're connected. And okay, we got that, and I'm getting a picture. God was meticulous in building the temple. And He was meticulous in putting it together. And my brain would cramp. And I'm like, they got to do it like that. And you had to go to the people that He had given, and not just instruction with what to do, but He had given them talents and abilities to be the first one able to do that. And given them a trade and given them a skill. They could not run down to Home Depot and purchase any of that. They had to build that. And they had to have the skill to do that. And they had to go to Lebanon to get the cedars of Lebanon, to get them all the way back, and then to dry them out, and to cast them in gold, and to layer them, and to put coatings on them, and to place them. And God said all of that. And He was talking about, now when you come into My temple, you will enter with thanksgiving. And you will enter My courts with praise. Now, why would you think that He would go to that meticulous detail to build the thing for us to just come in and casually, well, you know, y'all lucky to see me today. I wasn't feeling it. Stayed up a bit late last night. Do you know what He says about our excuses? Do you know that the Bible talks about excuses that men offer? And the list of excuses that men would offer are so much further than any excuse I've ever given God. I mean, they come down to, my family member has died. And He said, let the dead bury the dead. I ain't ever had an excuse like that. I've just not had an excuse like that. So what He's saying is that our excuses mean nothing. And actually, there is a requirement to access where I want you to be. Now, you can say that's Old Testament, and I'll say, I agree, you're right. But consider this. Now, I'm glad it's the New Testament. I want to make that clear too. I'm glad it's the New Testament. Because as a priest, I wouldn't have time to eat a pack of cheese crackers. for what they had to do. I'm glad that I'm not in the Old Testament. I'm glad that I'm not under the law. I'm glad I didn't have to do the things to keep the law. I'm very thankful for that. But now, we are the temple of Christ. He lives inside of us. And because he paid it all, does that mean I really don't have to do anything? That I don't owe him anything really. All I got to do is just, Pastor John, I went to that concert the other night and they said, if you don't know the Lord, repeat this prayer. I repeated it, so get off my back. Well, if that's enough, good luck with that. I'm simply telling you, I still believe that there is a way that we are supposed to present ourselves when we come into his presence. And when we come into the presence of other believers, and whenever we gather like this, if I get this right, and I'm pretty sure that this is South Carolina law, trespassing is the act of entering or remaining on another person's property without permission or legal right. It is a violation of the owner's property rights and privacy. Trespassing is the act of entering or remaining on another person's property without permission or legal right. And he says there's a way that we're to come in with thanksgiving and praise. Didn't he say it? And I would give this to you. If we don't come in with thanksgiving and praise on our lips, I think there could be an argument that we're trespassing. And if we got an excuse, no nothing. If I could have, and it would have been conducive, I would have preached first this morning, and then we would have worshiped. Do you know that you gave God, you offered God a gift today? Do you know that in the days of kings, you did not come to a king without a gift in your hand? And if you did, you probably died. It was such an act of disrespect. The Bible says that we're to judge ourselves. I promise you I'm not being mean today. If you would have seen me this week, you would have said, who is that guy? We worshiped so long. And then they preached. It started at about 9:15, 9:30, and didn't finish that till about 10:30. And then the pastor said something so good. He said, now, for those of you that are worried about how late it is, he said, most of y'all were just now getting to the club back in the day. You weren't too tired then. There's something to tearing. There's something at Matt Woodhouse's last night. I was actually having a cup of coffee with him after everything. We went to the kitchen. And he made me a cup of coffee. We were drinking that, talking about just whatever. Ball game was on. And I could still hear him up front, and I said, Matt, you know what I love about our church? That. I said, you come to our church, it's almost like they don't want to leave, like they're doing at your house. That we were just talking, finding people to talk, talking about stuff. Some about the Lord, I'm sure. I wasn't listening to anybody's conversation. Some just enjoying each other's company. It's supposed to be that way. But there's also something to tarrying in the presence of the Lord. Entering to his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful in him. Bless his name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. There's really not an opportunity to say, okay, it's enough. It's enough. I've praised you enough. We actually leave with praise on our lips. We come in with praise in our lips, and it's substantial enough that it lasts and praise stays on us. And regardless, that praise is always in order. Worship is always in order. Will you come, Christine? I'm going to let y'all go. Y'all look as tired as I feel. How about that? I promise I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to make you aware of what he's already said. That's kind of like what my job is. A very simplistic message, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's not that we need a new revelation, because there is a pressure on preachers to give me a new revelation. Give me a new revelation. And time talks about that in the Bible. It says that it'll come a time when men will heap unto themselves people that will scratch their little ears. And like, in other words, say what I want to hear. Say what we want to hear. Don't say that hard stuff. Sometimes we need to get away from a search for revelation, because here's the thing about revelation. There's nothing new under the sun anyway.
That's right.
You can take every bit of truth. There's nothing new that's under the sun. It's been here. Now, revealing it might be something that's wonderful to us. I love revelation as good as anybody. But sometimes it's good to just go back and go over what he's already said. Reminders. And that's what this is this morning. This is a reminder. It's fresh on me, because I saw incredible things happen this week. It changed me. Changed me. And I'm not saying that I was bad. And I didn't go there thinking, God, change me. God, change me. It opened my eyes, though. And I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for his praise. So I invite you, as we leave this morning, in our closing time, and we're going to sing another song. They're going to sing another song. Take this opportunity to worship and to dip your ladle deep enough to scoop out enough that your praise goes with you and it stays with you every day. And when you come back, there's still enough of what God has done that I'm still thankful. I'm still thankful. I'm still grateful. It hasn't worn down. You're still so good to me. Lord, let us be a people that worships you for who you are, in Jesus' name.